Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight, and it's Kyle, it's Ben, and this should be a fun episode because yesterday was an interesting day, one of the more interesting days that you maybe ever have in collegiate sports at a particular school. I mean, a lot of action, first day of spring practice, top five baseball game, and then you had an NIT matchup that night, and for the most part, I think it was really good for all of it. Like,
I think it was a very successful day.
Very successful day for the most part. But there is some there's some really interesting storylines that happen that really drummed up a lot of emotion in folks, to the point where I did a whole show about one of it this morning. And then, you know, there's another aspect as far as the basketball game goes, but I figured we just have fun with it today. Let's just mock everybody. You want to?
I mean, mock all the takes that have been, and I understand, you know, you and I give takes too, but I'm not drawing a line in the sand that I am right and everybody's wrong. But by golly, but there are some out there that are. It amazes me that they claim to be supporters of Auburn. They claim to be all in with Auburn, bleed orange and blue, but they cannot be made happy in one way or another.
Yeah, it's sort of becoming like an Auburn fan thing. Like it's, and maybe that's at other schools, and we're just not locked in. But like literally, we watch something and we are looking for something to be mad about. We're looking for a negative. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with football or do you want to start with basketball?
You said you did football earlier in the morning. Let's go ahead and wait on it. Let's start with basketball first.
Okay. I'm literally seeing this places, Ben. Okay. And it's really blowing my mind. It's as if this was the first time this child played this whole year.
Oh, I know where you're going here. Yeah.
Okay. So I am seeing Auburn makes the tournament if Stephen Pearl plays Caden Magwood more or over Blake Mychalek, because Caden Magwood went 3-for-7 last night against South Alabama from three. Auburn gets in. That costs Auburn the tournament. If we play Caden Magwood more, Auburn makes the tournament. I mean, I've seen that. There's threads on message boards.
Yeah.
We're one game away. If Stephen Pearl had swallowed his pride and not got his feelings hurt and played Caden Magwood, Auburn's in the tournament.
Oh, I've seen other ones that say that he played Caden Magwood because he's letting him put stuff on tape so he can transfer and get out of here. So,
well, that was a good one to do. If that's the case, that was a good one. I mean, he had a pretty good game.
I mean, it was a good game, but I don't know that Stephen Pearl, how out of the same breath they can say that if he'd have swallowed his pride and then he's going to just let him have the floor to put game tape out there to leave the program. Like, it's like they wake up to get mad. But it's funny because when he was in last night, I told you, watch some of the baseball game, flipped over to the Auburn basketball game because baseball was kind of out of hand by the time it started anyway. And even when he was out there, I was like, who is this? I was like, oh, it's Magwood. And
I was shocked to see him, to be honest.
And I was too. And so then I saw, of course, I go to, like we all do, go to message boards and go to Twitter to see what everybody's saying about it, and just getting just absolutely obliterated is Stephen Pearl and Auburn for having him out there. And honestly, for that first half, I mean, he took some wide open shots that he missed. Like you said, 3-of-7. So I was
not like he just tore it up.
Yeah.
He hit three threes.
The first three that he took shots and missed. I was like, well, that's why you're not playing, bub.
Yeah, exactly. You knew he was, when he got those minutes, though, he was going to fire one off. Here's my thing about this whole deal. Like, Caden Magwood has played in other games.
Yeah.
Like you can just go back and look at the other games. And, like, for example, Texas A&M's one where it's like, hey, man, that was a, you know, one or two possession game, right?
Yeah.
He played 8 minutes and turned it over three times.
I know.
And we lost by a buzzer beater, like an overturned buzzer beater. It's not like this is the first time that we've ever seen this kid play basketball.
I know.
He's played against a lot of pretty good teams. He played against Arizona, played 11 minutes against Arizona, played 16 minutes against Michigan, played 19 minutes against Jacksonville State. Played against, Merrimack. He played double-digit minutes in, several games. So, we're acting like as if this is the rule. This is not the exception. This was the rule, and this is the determining factor of if Auburn, because the margins were razor thin, Magwood was the difference. And I'm like, guys, did y'all not watch this game? The argument, if you play Magwood, you probably don't play him any different as far as minute volume as Blake. It's not like that that decreases the load that Tahad would have had to play. Because Magwood still had a lot of offensive issues.
Yeah. I mean, turning the ball over. But also, when you look at – and that's the thing is I think Steven sometimes goes by numbers. Steven Pearl, that is – and I saw a stat that – now, this is not as of the last week or so. But a few weeks ago when people were complaining about Blake being on the floor, minutes plus minus was unreal. Auburn was actually in the plus when he was on the floor. And – I think it just stood out to people because maybe he gave up a blow by and people got upset about that. But what they didn't see was the other side of the floor where Auburn, or had a good possession offensively or something.
The thing is you have to understand what role does the coaching staff want in the guy that comes in off the bench behind Tahad. In other words, what's the goal? The goal is to try to play good defense and protect the ball, basically. The idea that your point guard needs to come, your backup point guard needs to come in and score every time they're on the floor, I don't think that's necessarily – that's awesome if that were to happen. But for the most part, when Todd's taking a breather, you're just like, let's put somebody in there that won't screw it up.
Right. Doesn't turn the ball over. Has some decent defensive possessions. At least facilitates the offense as much as possible in order to get it to your playmakers, which would be Keyshawn Hall. Any other time, probably Murphy. But, it's Jovic down low, Sway, that kind of thing. Put it in their hands. Overton when he's hot. And that's kind of what we got out of Blake when he was in there. He wasn't asked to come in there and that's the thing is they're asking Magwood to come off the bench and you just put it best. They're asking him to come off and be Tahad 2.0 and do everything that Tahad's doing. And again, that's great if you do, but he was when he got his minutes early in the year, he was turning the ball over. Getting lax on defense and getting off of, kind of backing off of guys and got that led to some of that. We were talking about people shooting the three well against Auburn. Well, when you give them 8-9 feet separation, they're going to take that three. And so it's easy for a collegiate player to hit a wide open shot like that. So when they tweet that or they post that on the message board, it's again, Stephen Pearl's issue because Magwood would have made the difference. We're in the tournament today if he's playing, more minutes. And it's did y'all not watch any of the first part of the season? What are we doing?
Blake had four turnovers all year. Magwood had 12, and Magwood didn't play. He didn't play half the season. After January, I think January 6th was his last time he played. So the point I'm trying to make is I'm not just trying to bag on Magwood. He's a freshman.
Yeah.
Okay. But what were the expectations of that particular role? And then which one of those guys could fulfill that particular role that you needed? You were already in a bind because you didn't really have another good, true backup. You didn't have a really good backup point guard. So you just needed somebody that could go in and not give the game away, essentially. Yeah. I mean, that's all they wanted.
Yeah.
And so who does that? Who did that the best out of those two guys?
Yeah. I mean, it's Blake by far. And clearly, Kyle, they saw something in the practices.
Yes.
Apparently, Magwood was still turning the ball over in practice.
And like, I never will understand this mindset. I guess the theory is that the coach could get it wrong, but that's not how it's really played out. It's like, I don't really understand the mindset that we think coaches are knowingly playing players that are going to hurt us. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really understand how like a grown adult can work that logic out in their head that there is a obvious answer and our coach is knowingly not playing the answer, or our coach that's around these guys way more than we are doesn't see what I see from the couch eating potato chips. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. It's just offensively, sure. I'm sure Magwood is probably a more offensive, like a better offensive threat, you know, in a vacuum. But I don't think that was the role that they wanted this backup point guard to be. Now, could we argue, should they just put Magwood in and just said, hey, let's just go shoot threes and see what happens and whatever. And if we turn it over, we'll just try to go outscore them. I don't know. Maybe there's a discussion, but clearly we were a couple of games away with the strategy that we had with a severely undermanned point guard position. Mm-hmm. And a starting point guard that didn't perform up to, you know, the expectations that we thought he would. So we can't talk with any kind of nuance. It's like, oh, he scored 14 points a game. Like I had somebody tell me like, man, if Magwood just averaged 6 points a game, we win. I was like, guys, he played those games. Like he played games. He did not average 6 points. Like he actually played in other games. Double-digit minutes in several games and could not average 6 points. So, like, the idea that this secret offensive weapon was just right there at our disposal and we just refused to use it is silly. I mean, hold on 1 second. I want to go to this game log. Like, especially early in the year, he played 15 minutes against Merrimack.
Yeah.
3 points. And had a turnover and no assists. Like he played, so that's not, you know, that 6 point average. He played 19 minutes against Jackson State. Hell, everybody played against Jackson State and he scored 6 points.
Yeah.
He played a lot of basketball. Like he played a good amount of basketball and he didn't come anywhere near scoring 6 points a game.
No. Like you said, a total of 14 turnovers. So when you start talking about
12 or 14, I can't remember.
Yeah, so when you start talking about, you know, plus minus and what outweighs him being on the floor, it's like, okay, that's great. So we get 3 points out of him. But if he has three turnovers that lead to 6 points, that's been a terrible trade-off. And then
let's not pretend like calling your coach an expletive in a public forum. Let's not pretend like that's not a big deal. I mean,
oh yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty big deal. Like, let's not pretend like that happens with anybody, any other coach, and you're just okay with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not out of the realm of, it's not out of that realm of possibility. Like, that may get you in trouble if you call your coach an expletive on social media over something your coach didn't even do. It was something a reporter got incorrect.
Yep.
And you show that you're, you know, not emotionally mature and you turn the ball over a lot. Like, that's not that outrageous to think that may cost you some playing time.
Yeah, there's a reason you move down the bench when that happens.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. So
I think you nailed it, though. I think that the reason he got the run is, hey – you know, we've had our differences and, you know, whatever, here's some time for you to go and best of luck, put some good film out there and best of luck to you. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, in this scenario, and good for him. It could be a great story. He may go find, you know, be able to go to a smaller school. And when they play teams like South Alabama, and maybe he'll be able to light it up. And that's great. That'd be a great story.
Yeah.
But this is no different. This game was like, I said this multiple times, but this game is like you're playing a game in late November or early to mid-December. It's a schedule filler game that nobody comes to, and look at the stands, that's on Christmas break, and you beat the eye fool out of a team, and you empty the bench, and then somebody from the bench goes off. That's literally no different than what you saw here. Nothing you saw was the rule. It was the exception.
Yeah, this is not like we sat Jabari Smith Jr. for 3 months and then we put him out there and he lights it up. Yeah. And then you can go, where the hell has this guy been the entire time?
Yeah.
We're talking about a guy that, you know, was averaging a few turnovers, a couple of turnovers a game when he got his playing time. He was averaging less than 6 per game points-wise, even though everybody's like you said, oh, if he just puts in 6 a game, like we win more. Yeah, well,
when he got those opportunities, he didn't put in 6 a game.
Right. So, the
even with the 14 points, he's not averaging 16 points a game. It's 3.9.
Yeah. So,
and points was not the issue. Points was not really the issue with this team. I feel like it was defense.
Yeah, it was defense. And this was
and protecting the ball.
Last night was the epitome of knee-jerk reaction. I'm mad that we're in the NIT tournament.
There you go.
And, you know, if we have any bright spots, then Stephen Pearl and his staff did a poor job of coaching all year because they should have been doing this the entire season, because what is successful against South Alabama in the NIT tournament would have been successful against any other program, including SEC programs like Alabama.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the reaction that I took that as. Mm-hmm. However, man, there again, I go back to, you talk about the mocking. I'm not mocking him. I'm just saying I find it hilarious, the people that are just completely, they are in their world of, they're completely right. The staff is wrong. People that look at this from the outside in are wrong. And they could fix the entire world with their ideas.
One game away. Hey, we're one game away from the NCAA tournament. Caden Magwood was the difference. It's a fact, because he shot – he went 3 of 7 against South Alabama.
That's their take on it.
Yeah. Wild. Also, Ben, the Auburn football fan base may have the most elite group of quarterback coaches – as a whole, as a fan base, that in the country, I think.
Yesterday was wild on the internet, because people like you and other media members were there, and y'all took video, and we even mentioned it in yesterday's Afternoon Delight, where I said funky delivery, but I'm not going to argue with 3,000 yards. Like, I said that, and apparently, I was one of the few that didn't want to argue with the delivery, because he put up 3,000 yards, because there are so many quarterback gurus that are sitting on the couch eating popcorn, picking their nose, and they got a keyboard sitting on their lap, because, by golly, Brown was ripped to shreds on his delivery, and that ain't going to work against an SEC team. Well, it did against Florida.
Yeah, you're talking about the quarterback that had the most yardage, total yardage, than any other quarterback that played Florida in the SEC, and Carson Beck. Is that who you're talking about? You're talking about Byron Brown?
Yep.
You're talking about in the swamp too, like on the road and not just at home versus Florida? Yeah. That's what I thought you were talking about. I mean, if you're an Auburn fan, do you not remember Jason Campbell's throwing motion? Jason Campbell had a really long delivery.
Yeah.
It was honestly, if you watch them, there's a lot of similarities. Like it's a long windup, and Jason had a howitzer, so his timing, he made up for the release with having a really strong arm. And Byram's the same way. Like Byram has a longer, a rounded windup, and it's at this point in time, you're not going to correct it. Like maybe they polish that up in the NFL, but like, there's a lot of funky delivery quarterbacks out there that just get it done, you know, that just have always gotten it done. And I understand long release is different than funky release, but like, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that have had a, you know, that wind up and have had success. And we have one at Auburn, Jason Campbell. Like, yes. go watch Jason Campbell. I'll never forget this play. It's against Arkansas. Okay. And okay. we ran like a reverse pitch back pass to Devin Aromashadu, and watch him throw that ball. It's like the ball was never going to get out of his hand. It was so long, but it, you know, he got there on the money, and obviously he was wide open. So that didn't matter too, but like timing routes and things like that, Jason was great at. He completed 69.7% of his passes. I think he leads Auburn quarterbacks maybe in all-time completion percentage. Incredibly long throwing motion.
So when you go back, so all the geniuses that tuned into the videos that were being shared online. So I had this argument with a buddy of mine because he just texted me and he said, that motion, man, I'm not sure about it. I said, is this your first time watching film on
Brown? That's another thing.
And he was like, of course, he was like, okay, smart ass. And so I was like, no. I said, just what you said just a minute ago on the timing issue. I said, so go back and watch that again, because you got three quarterbacks that take the snap, all step back, all release it at the same time. Brown's release takes longer than the other two. The ball arrives faster than the other two.
Yeah.
On those routes, because you can see that in the film.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is your argument? Because the ball he threw hit the receiver's hands before the other two, even though the other two quarterbacks had the prototypical quote unquote release.
Jackson Arnold had a beautiful release.
Well, that worked out well for Auburn, did it not? It was even more beautiful when he released himself to go to another team. that's the best release he had all year, was heading to another team. Mm-hmm. So that is the argument that I had with him. And he did. He texted me and he goes, you know what? I didn't think about that. I said, quit. Everybody keeps making all these mechanical breakdowns of issues. You know, I go back to the pros. You know, Le'Veon Bell used to be hilarious. They're like, he's so slow in the backfield because he was patient. He'd always wait for the hole to open and then he'd hit it.
Yeah.
And it's like, if he's picking up 6 yards a carry, I don't give a damn how long he takes back there in the backfield. Like,
I don't care. Of all the things about a quarterback, the way that he throws the ball could be, honestly, may not make my list as far as concerns.
Yeah.
Is he completing passes at a high percentage, 65 or above? Is he not throwing interceptions? Is he protecting the ball and is he throwing touchdowns? Like, I could, like, how it gets there. Ben, let me ask you this. I haven't talked to you about this. I've said this multiple times, but I want you to say it and I'm going to set you up for it. What's the saying in golf? If you slap the ball around and then you chip in for par, what's the saying?
Oh, you can have three bad shots and one good one still.
Okay. Well, that's not there. What about the scorecard? What do you do? You don't have to what on the scorecard?
I don't know. I don't know where you're going with this.
Really?
Yeah.
You ain't got to draw a picture on the scorecard. How you got
there? Yeah. You don't. No.
You just write down a four and you move on.
There's no diagram. That's for the analyst to do on the side to do that on the scorecard. That goes back to just what I said though. It's same thing in golf. The three bad shots and one great one gets you par. And on a par five, it gets you birdie. And so. Yeah. But the thing that I kept arguing with this buddy about is I was like, why are you bitching about a 3,000 yard passer? If I told you right now, he switched from righty to lefty and still threw for 3,000 yards, do you care?
And threw it underhanded.
Yes. Do you care?
No.
At the end of the day, what are the results of the product that we have on the field?
Philip Rivers couldn't throw a football 40 yards in the air.
No.
And he's a Hall of Famer.
Peyton Manning, his last 2 years, couldn't throw it 20 yards, and he won a Super Bowl.
Because
of his elbow surgery.
Are you getting the job done? Yes. That is literally the only thing that matters. Do you get the job done? Are you completing your passes? Are you protecting the football? Are you moving the chains? Are you scoring points? That is – are you winning games? That's all that matters. And do people around you believe in you? And that's probably – the people around Byram don't give a damn how the like what his arm motion looks like.
No.
Keyshawn Singleton bet his career on him. How about that? Yeah. Keyshawn Singleton bet his career on following – him and Keyshawn is a beast. Keyshawn's going to be an NFL player.
Yeah.
So look, I it's funny. We're joking, and I won't don't take it too serious. If you're offended by this, don't take it too serious. It's still March 18th, and you know we're finding stuff to talk about. But that was just funny yesterday. It was a pretty good sports day, and there's a lot of meltdowns over you know stuff that felt really silly to melt down about.
I laid my head on the pillow last night. Going,
it was a great good day.
Great practice day one. Brown looked good. Singleton looked good.
The delivery there was
hilarious. I talked to Kyle on Afternoon Delight, and we were talking about how you know the offensive linemen you know seem to be gelling already. How you got like you talk about guys betting their career on this and coming in and putting a lot you know the excitement and the energy of Golish, and then I go into. Auburn beats the number three team in the nation in baseball. And not only that, like just absolutely wipes the floor with them. Auburn basketball wins as I go to bed. And then I get up this morning and I start scrolling through stuff. And I was like, holy moly, you would think that we lost two coaches. We had three transfers. And now we got a quarterback that's broken his right arm. Like what the world is going on?
Pandemonium. I love it. It's hilarious.
It is the overreaction marches are absolutely insane right now. So, I mean, we got guys coming off the bench that should have been starting all year. I mean, it's unbelievable the takes that we receive. So, yeah, if you're upset or you're offended by it, I don't care. I don't. I mean, it's just – and then go touch some grass, bro. Like, that's all I can tell you.
Oh, it's, man. It's so funny.
There's a, you know, especially, and as I said, I know you had a whole show about it and we just talked about it, but the Brown situation thing, that made its way around nationally.
Oh, dude.
And I was sitting there going.
Alabama fans locked into it, too, so that didn't help.
Oh, but still, like, some of the national.
They scared.
The national accounts that we're talking about, and I'm like. Is this y'all's first time watching film on the kid? Like,
he's played football for 4 years.
That's the thing.
He's played 4 years worth of football games.
I questioned myself, Kyle. I was like, was he throwing different the last two? Like, what are we doing?
No joke. Ben, when you get done, go watch Jason Campbell highlights. And then everybody else, go watch. Just type in 2024 Auburn football season highlights and watch Jason's wind up. And nobody.
2004.
Huh?
2004.
Is that what I said?
No, you said 2024.
2004. Yeah, don't watch 2024.
We wish he was playing in 2024.
Go watch 2004 Auburn football highlights and watch Jason Campbell throw the ball. That team was pretty good. And he was pretty good, too. I mean, he completed a very high percentage of his passes. Passing game was all right. A lot of timing routes.
And Brown's got some fairly decent running backs behind him like Campbell had. So
yeah, just and then he's cool. he's just as good as any running back as well. So he's a beast too. So guys, you know we're having fun. it's spring. We're talking about fun stuff. So
I want everybody happy. Like
don't take anything personal. We're just having fun. Let's all be cheerful and joyful. Boog a little bit and just get to August, get to September. So
yeah, please let us get through spring practice before we start throwing the baby out with the bathwater on this whole situation.
Yeah. Guys, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk again soon. War Eagle.
More damn Eagle.